October 30th, Sportscast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Facebook, YouTube, and Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Get your Bible on your iPhone. InstaBible for iOS. Visit on instabibleapp.com. Number 6, Florida versus number 8, Georgia. Interesting scenario. SEC East Championship game, they're calling it. And, of course, Georgia was ranked number 2 early on this year. Florida was 10th. The tables have turned. Florida is a much better team than people were expected to see. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Gator football, Mr. Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, are you ready for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party Saturday in Jacksonville?
I'm ready. Of course, the game will be played in Jacksonville, neutral ground, but I still think it tilts more towards Florida. People are saying Georgia. I think Florida is going to handle this game pretty well. I mean, after seeing how what the Gamecocks did to Georgia, I think Florida could do the same.
Oh, absolutely, Santiago. When I was mapping out the season for the Gators this year, I expected them to come in with this record, one loss to LSU. So the season's going as I expected, when I'm making predictions, I say, Georgia's a really good team, and they are a really good team. This will probably talk this up. They're probably going to be a loss, because I think we're 1 year away, but, losing, Felipe Franks, while it's terrible for him, we're really flourishing under Kyle Trask. It's a lot different offense, He doesn't have that big arm that Felipe Franks has, but he's just so consistent. He runs the offense well. He doesn't make those knucklehead decisions that, Felipe Franks does. Is he going to shoot a 60-yard touchdown pass in the air? No. But, our offense, he's just got to the next level. Are we going to struggle running the ball against Georgia? Absolutely. Our offense line is still our Achilles heel. They don't get much push. But, one thing with Dan Mullen, if you give him time, he's going to scheme up some things. And that's what Dan Mullen helps us, that great X's and O's. And San Diego, I think that's the biggest advantage that the Gators have is, Dan Mullen, I think, is a better game coach than Kirby Smart.
Yes, which, Mullen has proven against Auburn. LSU, they came close, but obviously LSU had a better talent. And a quite fearsome offense. Let's look into the breakdown of the game. Georgia's defensive backs against Florida receivers. How do you see that matchup?
Florida's, I think, strength of their team is their strength in numbers on the wide receiver core. There's no one with eye-popping numbers. Why is that? Because, they're playing 8 and 9 wide receivers every single game, and they're all game-changers, And really what's helped Florida's offense in the past game is the addition of a position we haven't seen that much success from, and that's the tight end position. Kyle Pitts is putting up some great numbers. I think what Florida's going to do, does Georgia have those game-changing cornerbacks as they do? No. But they're solid at the cornerback. They're solid at every position. They recruit well. But what I think, in Dan Mullen, they're going to put in their wide receivers in the best position. I think you're going to see a lot of throws out into space and try to get our cornerback or our receivers, to break a tackle and get some, bigger gains, with Grimes and Jefferson and Cleveland. We've got a lot of shifty players, and we're getting back our, our most shiftiest player, and that's Kadarius Toney, has been out for quite a few weeks with a broken collarbone, so that'll help us getting him back in this game.
Another matchup people are looking at is Georgia's offensive line against Florida's front seven. How do you see that?
Well, that's where the Gators are going to have I think another trouble is Achilles heel of Florida is the talent they have on the offer, the lack of developed talent right now, the offensive line. Well, Georgia, might not have the best offensive line in college football. They might go to Oregon, but I would put them in number 2. They just work well together. They're big and they're strong. And, when we know Georgia, they're going to try to run the ball. And it's going to be very tough. Florida's under Todd Grantham. It's going to throw a lot of different blitz packages at you. They may not try to get to the quarterback, but they're going to try to who've took Karate Kid some havoc and put, some doubt into Jake Fromm. But, I think the Gators are going to have trouble stopping their run with just their front four. They're going to have to send some run blitzes, and that may leave their defense, their back end a little bit shorthanded. But, Florida's good news is that they're getting Jabari Zuniga back and Jonathan Bernard, who missed the South Carolina game. So they got 2 weeks off, with the bye week. So, they're going to be 100% no. But they're going to be out on the field, and, those are two of the better defensive linemen in the SEC.
Georgia's defense versus Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts.
Overall, like I said, Georgia's got some monsters, Up front, I think South Carolina proved that you can run the ball against Georgia. And I don't think, I think South Carolina's got a pretty decent offensive line and probably a little better than Florida's. But overall, I think Florida's going to lean heavy on the passing game, control passing game, a lot of short passes. They may be labeled as passes, but really they're just, extended handoffs up to the wide receivers. I just don't think Florida's got this, the girth up front to just be able to run the ball, which I think that's what Dan Mullen did. Expect to see a little bit of Emory Jones in this game, too. We didn't see him a lot against South Carolina, but we did see him a lot against LSU. And I think, you're going to see is, you're not going to see Emory Jones just take the ball and run. You're going to see him throw the ball. Because he does have a very good arm. He's maybe not as accurate as contrast, and that's why he's not the starter, but he's an elite athlete, and we're going to try to get him into space.
Jake Fromm versus the defensive coordinator of Florida, Todd Grantham.
Oh, they're going to, like we said a few minutes ago, Todd Grantham, he's got some exotic blitzes. He's going to try to get to the quarterback. But anything, he's just going to try to create havoc, we're going to rush the passer. And, last year, we struggled against Georgia's passing game. But we did not. We had didn't have Marco Wilson all year, and C.J. Henderson missed that game. So, we have Trey Dean, who right now is playing safety, and, C.J. McWilliams, who is, no longer even with us on the team, playing cornerback. So, this team is, going to be a lot better defensively against the Georgia wide receivers, which I think is Georgia's weakness right now. They got Cal transfer Demetrius Robinson and Miami transfer Cager, and then they do have a five-star wide receiver Pickens out of Alabama, who's very good. I just think that's definitely the weakness of the team right now, is the wide receiver. So I think that's why you're going to see Florida throw a lot of run blitzes to stop the run, and put their cornerbacks and safeties on the island, and hopefully they'll be able to cover the Georgia wide receivers.
According to 5-8 Project 30 action poll, a Florida loss would leave the Gators with a 2% chance of making the playoffs. Meanwhile, a Georgia loss will put the Bulldogs at less than 1%.
Yeah, absolutely, Santiago. This is a playoff elimination game. We know the winner is in the driver's seat to get to the SEC East Championship and control their destiny to get to the playoffs. The loser still kind of controls their own destiny. They get to near a sixth bowl, but most likely definitely not the playoffs. So, yes, this is a de facto a playoff football game on Saturday in Jacksonville.
This makes this contest even more important than the big LSU-Alabama Week 11 showdown, since the loser of that game still has at least an 18% chance of reaching the playoff.
Yeah, both teams with reputation and what's left on their schedule still has a lot of chance to, put a lot of quality wins on the board. When we're talking about LSU and Alabama, well, Georgia, Florida, definitely, this is really their last big game for both of those teams. So that's why it's so important to win this game. That's the tense. Next week's game is going to be more important to see who goes to the SEC West. SEC West champion who goes to Atlanta to face the winner of probably Georgia, Florida. But yes, the two teams are going to make it in any conference. They'll probably be the SEC and probably the loser of LSU and Alabama.
I believe the deciding factor for this game, Ryan, is Florida's ability or inability to get pass rushers, to get rushers in Jake Fromm's face, their defense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like that creating that havoc. You're not going to always get to the quarterback, but, you know, when you let Jake Fromm sit there in the pocket and throw, you know, he's going to have success. But if you can get that pass, you know, Georgia isn't necessarily, you know, like LSU and get that ball out of their hands quickly. You know, they're going to play action fake. They're going to go longer routes. They want to do their passing games more in big chunks. So, you know, they're going to you want to get that pressure because you don't want to get those receivers in field. So, yes, you know, just making Jake Fromm feel uncomfortable. And that's, you know, Santiago, honestly, that's what South Carolina did so well against the Bulldogs a couple weeks ago, was just the constant pressure they got on Jake Fromm.
I really do think Florida will win this game. I'm not sure about you. You have your doubts. Justin has his doubts about Alabama. Tyler had his doubts with Oregon against Washington. You have your doubts against Georgia. I am very optimistic Florida will win this match.
Yeah, you know, Santiago, you know, 2 weeks ago we both lost the game, Georgia and Florida. Florida lost the game on the road against the top, you know, team in the country. Georgia lost the game at home against a team that's probably not going to go to a bowl game. So, you know, the feeling is very good right now, you know, in the Florida fan base. But, you know, this team, they recruit very well, Georgia. They got a lot of depth. They just, you know, even in their wins this year, you know, even last week against Kentucky, you know, 21-0. You know, Jake Fromm throws, what, for 40 yards at the tops. You know, did not look good. I know the game was played in a rainstorm, but he didn't look comfortable. They had a hard time running the ball consistently, you know. The big thing Florida is going to have to do, and I think the major key is, you know, we all know, you know, the best player in Georgia's team is Swift, the running back. You know, if you got a chance to take them down, you got to take them down. You know, how Georgia gets good is, you know, you stop them at the line of scrimmage, Swift falls forward for 4 yards, you know. And if you're tackling them after 4 yards, you got to tackle them because that's where, you know, they're going to make their punishment. They take a 4-yard run, you miss a tackle, and turn it into a 40-yard run. And that's been Florida's issue against Georgia the last couple of years, you know, is tackling, you know, the running back. And I left too many big games.
Yep. The Georgia Bulldogs will play the Florida Gators this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Is that the Jaguar Stadium, right?
Yeah. And downtown Jacksonville.
Downtown Jacksonville. That, you know,
something I haven't been to, but San Diego, I'd love to check that off my bucket list, you know. It just looks really awesome to watch on TV. You know, literally the stadium is right down the middle, 50-50. So, I, you know, obviously I know the game is a lot closer to Florida than it is to Georgia. But, you know, in the way the game is played, it's 50-50. There's, you know, after every play, one crowd is cheering, the other crowd isn't cheering. You know, I don't think there's a big advantage, you know, totally out since the game is close to the Florida, you know. But, you know, it's just, you know, the rivalry is, you know, there's not, I don't think, a lot of hatred, but there's just a lot of respectful dislike between those two teams, you know, because the game is so important. You know, usually the winner of that game is going to go to the SEC East Championship. And as far as I know, lately, I think in the last, you know, 7-8 years, that's probably what's been it.
I believe so. I think Missouri is still in the run for it as well, I believe.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, San Diego, this is Missouri, you know, 2 weeks ago, they're sitting undefeated in the SEC East. And we wouldn't be talking about this game to be an SEC East championship. But since then, Missouri has lost on the road at Vanderbilt, and then they just lost last week to Kentucky. So though they have two conference losses, but they still do play both Georgia and Florida. And Missouri is a team that Florida can't overlook because they've lost them pretty bad the last 2 years. So whether Florida wins or loses this game, you know, it will be a challenge for the Gators to go to Columbia, Missouri in a couple weeks to get a victory.
Missouri is like the Chicago Bulls of college football, of the SEC. So we'll see if they get in.
Yeah, you know, they're not flashy. They don't have a lot of star power. They play well, but you know, maybe the wheels are falling off this wagon here, you know, with the last two losses. I mean, losing to Vanderbilt is pretty inexcusable this year, you know. Vanderbilt was coming off a 30-point loss to UNLV Santiago, so that's not a good look for the Tigers.
It does not. Speaking about road teams, the World Series, only road teams are winning. Will it happen tonight?
Santiago, that is crazy. Not only is that the first time in baseball, that's the first time between baseball, hockey, and basketball that in a seven-game series that the road team has won the first six games. That's pretty crazy. So, you know, Max Scherzer versus Zach Greinke, two future Hall of Famers, two former Cy Young winners. You know, this is, you know, this is the best you can get in baseball, Santiago. You know, if you look at the pitchers the last couple of nights, you know, the pitchers look gassed. You know, these starters for both teams have gotten a lot of innings this year throughout the season. You know, I don't know how much each, you know, starter's got left in tank. You know, Strasburg did great last night for the Nationals, but you definitely saw that Verlander definitely hit that wall last night. It's something that you usually don't see, but
he choked
at the end of the, you know, the playoffs. You know, it's tough. They pitched a lot of innings, and Lee and Shanks to see Scherzer, who missed game five start because of a back spasm, you know, says he's okay, but even yesterday during warm-ups, you know, his usual pre-day pitching routine looked like he was in a lot of pain. So we'll see how many innings he goes. I don't expect him to go long. Expect him to go three or four innings, you know, try to set the tone for the Nationals.
Yeah, last night the Washington Nationals beat the Houston Astros 7-2. Forcing a winner-take-all game seven tonight. Strasburg continues to be a postseason dominator. What happened to Verlander? He choked last night, poor pitching. And you're right, Scherzer, I believe he had a cortisone shot on Sunday, so that starts to kick in hopefully by today. And, of course, you know, Rendon had a great home run. I think that was the game right there when he hit that home run.
Yeah, you know, it's three that, you know, 3-2 at that point, Santiago, and we had just watched one of the most craziest plays ever, you know, where the umpire called interference on the runner, and most, you know, it looks like the Astros, you know, won the review, or the play couldn't be reviewed, and it looks like they had all the momentum, they're going to get out of this inning, and there you go, Anthony Rendon, you know, hits the home run, it breaks the game wide open, and, you know, and the rest is going to say it's history, but you know, between Rendon and Soto, you know, the Nationals haven't missed a beat without losing Bryce Harper, you know, this year.
Yeah, something to look at tonight. The game's at 8:07, Game 7. Low-rated World Series so far, but maybe tonight things might turn around for the ratings. Looking forward to it. I still think the Nationals will win this match, but we'll wait until game predictions just to hear what Ryan says. Unexpectedly, Joe Flacco was put into the injury reserve for the Denver Broncos, and it was kind of weird because on Sunday he was complaining about the team and the calls, and he looked healthy then, and then 2 days later he became injured. Is there something going on inside the locker room there?
You know, this is a team and franchise in turmoil, Santiago. You know, they just traded away their best player in Emmanuel Sanders, our best offensive player, you know, for not much, but, you know, just after he got disgruntled after play calling, you know, the OC, you know, the offense, you know, this team hasn't scored more than 24 points in almost a year, Santiago. Only scored a touchdown in the last two games, a touchdown each in the last two games. They're very frustrated. The defense played great last, you know, I'll put this in the picture for the audience, you know. Defense is playing good. You know, they're up 13-12. You know, a couple of minutes left. They have the ball at the coach 40-yard line. It's 3rd and 5. You know, you get a first down. The game is over. Instead, Denver, instead of trying to get a first down, runs the ball right up the middle, plays cautiously, punts the ball back to the Colts, and the Colts, in Adam Vinatieri fashion, beat the Broncos at the last second. And the Broncos now have lost 3 games in the last 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah, like,
so,
the Broncos,
you know, there's just a lot of frustration.
Yeah, a lot of frustration. Obviously, I know that Flacco is, you know, coming from Harbaugh type of coaching, which is, I don't know if it's a championship level, but probably near it, versus Fangio, kind of not many people know much about it, and he's probably more old school than more than anything else.
Yeah, you know, they're definitely a defense at first play. You know, the play calling all year has been, you know, I don't say bad. It's just been close to the vest. They, you know, they try to win by defense. You know, defense have played well. And the three losses they lost in a minute are games they played well, and, you know, they just couldn't get that important stop. And, it, you know, if they win those three games, you know, the whole season's different, you know, and they're probably not complaining, you know, about play calling. So, yes, Flacco was getting massages during the game for his neck, so I'm sure it's a little bit of an issue. But, you know, after you call out the coaches, it doesn't surprise me he got, you know, quote-unquote, you know, put on the bench because of the bad neck, you know, because they're playing a player in Brandon Allen, you know, who is really no value to the future of the team. You know, he was just basically brought in to hold a clipboard until Drew Lock come back. So expect when Drew Lock is healthy enough to play that he'll be the starter for the rest of the season for the Broncos.
Flacco is expected to miss expected to miss 5 to 6 weeks. They lost against the Colts 15-13, just like Ryan said in the last 30 seconds. They play against the Browns this Sunday at 4:25 p.m. in Denver. Like I said, it's a possible win. They could get that win maybe, but of course Brandon Allen is starting, not the future of the Broncos. If it was Greer, maybe have more of a chance, but we'll see if the Browns, you know, put it together as well. Which was a good game against New England this past Sunday in some ways.
Yeah, you know, this is a team, you know, we talk about poor coaching, you know, they gave the head coaching job to Freddie Kitchens, who had no head coaching experience. He, you know, basically got the job because of how good he was a play caller last year, and is showing signs that he's not really head coaching material. Some of his, you know, game management is not good. I mean, the hope was, you know, a 2-5 coming off a bye going to New England, that they put up a good play. Well, you know, the ball didn't bounce their way. You know, they fumbled. You know, you can't turn the ball over against the Patriots because they'll make you pay. And they never really had a shot on Sunday.
The detail that the Patriots had this past Sunday was incredible. They definitely showed up to win. Sanu had a good first day. He had a few catches. Not much exciting, but we'll see what happens in the Patriots' undefeated season.
Yeah, you know, the Patriots are so, you know, this is not your father's Patriots. You know, the ones we grew up watching, you know, 10 years ago, where they're high-flying, you know, they're throwing the ball. This is a defensive-first football team that play, you know, tries to run the ball, you know. Tom Brady isn't putting up high gauging numbers. He just doesn't turn the ball over. You know, and they, you know, they kind of play, you know, ball control, you know, football, you know, which is not their, you know, calling card years ago, you know, where they were open it up and, you know, with Randy Moss, you know, Wes Welker, you know, this team, you know, they go, you know, keep the ball third and short, and they're going to get the ball at them with the chains and, you know, run the ball, Michelle, White, you know, they don't have, you know, those playmakers. They're missing Gronk, you know. You know, in this defense, you know, people would have a hard time naming five people off that defense. But
Hightower.
Hightower is, you know, having a great year, you know, and Gilmore is having a great year. But Kyle Van Noy, these are guys that, you know, are kind of other people's rosters. You know, they're not household names that, you know, this team, but, you know, they, Bill Belichick being the defensive wizard is probably loving this team more than he's loved other teams.
Patriots run so far, possible last season of Brady and the Patriots?
You never know. I mean, he's not getting hit, Santiago, so unless something happens in the offseason the rest of the year, I see him stopping, but we'll see.
I don't know. His house is on sale. His trainer's house is on sale. But that could be nothing. Maybe they just want to downgrade to a different house, and it's happening all at the same time. So,
yeah, you can't look into little things like that, Santiago. It'll drive you crazy. But it's just Tom, you know, Tom Brady, you know, the way he takes care of his body and the, you know, the Patriots way of doing things, and Bill Belichick, you know, people get frustrated by the Patriots, but don't get frustrated. Just enjoy how good they run their team. No shape. Cheer for the Patriots, you know, but just the way they take care of their business each week, you know, and their teams adapt to what their team is like, you know, and they're selfless, you know, no one's putting up crazy numbers offensively or defensively. Everybody just does their job, and that's why they're winning every week, you know. And you know, in the same way, it's just watching San Francisco put that team together, you know, a team where John Lynch, the GM president, you know, was probably in a hot seat going into this year. You know, he's made a lot of bold moves, a lot of draft picks, and all of a sudden this year, everything's clicking. You know, all those moves that people were questioning, they're all turning out good now, you know, and really the last piece we're waiting for is Jimmy Garoppolo to stay healthy and put together a good season. You know, like we said, they acquired Emmanuel Sanders from the Broncos, you know, a great offensive line. Nick Bosa, what a great pick that was, you know.
He should be Rookie of the Year.
Thank the Cardinals for picking Kyler Murray instead of Nick Bosa as number one. So they got handed that out over Trey. But DeForest Buckner, you know, shout out to our man Tyler Turner's Oregon Ducks for producing, you know, him out there. But he's another great player who's playing at MVP level.
There you have it. San Francisco, I believe, are the real deal. NFC is wide open, but San Francisco is undefeated. But I still like the Saints. Ryan probably agrees with that one.
Oh, yeah. Saints, you know, we were talking about a month and a half ago. Drew Brees goes down with injury. They have an awful game against the Rams, you know, and everybody's thinking, you know, this is the end of the line for the Saints. But instead, Teddy Bridgewater comes in, goes 5-0, and Drew Brees comes back last week and has a nearly perfect performance, you know, and all is good, you know. It's definitely shaping up to be, you know, a Saints 49ers NFC championship game, but you can't discount how good Aaron Rodgers is playing the last couple weeks for the Packers. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, the NFC is definitely wide open. Just for the NFC East, I feel like that's a little bit of a dumpster fire right now, and no one's really taking hold of that. But I do, in that fight, I do think that, you know, the way the Eagles beat up on the Bills last week, you know, they seem to be coming into their own way. You know, they got a lot of good wins. You know, they went to Green Bay and they won. They went to Buffalo and won. Those are, you know, tough games. They just got to take care of the little games and their, you know, the team games they should win, and they'll be okay.
And there you have it. That's our good NFL update. Anything else before we head into the big, long list of game predictions?
Quick update on the NBA is off and running. You know, it's hard to take too many takeaways other than last night, that performance by Anthony Davis, San Diego, 40 points and 20 rebounds, 3/4 of action. You know, seems to be adjusting quite well to the LA life.
Things are gelling for them, yeah. How about the Warriors? Warriors, I know they're 1-2, but is this just, you know, maybe too early to tell what's going to happen with them?
Give it a sample size of at least 10 games, Santiago. You know, we try not to make too many judgments. You know, this is an 82-game season, and I know in the preseason that they're not playing a lot together. So it is finding their way. This team, you know, when you got a big chunk of your team is, you know, Klay Thompson, and he's probably not going to play this year. So, you know, they're not going to.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, usually for an ACL recovery, it's like, you know, 6-7 months, even up to 8, and, you know, his timetable looks like he's able to come back after February. Is that something you just want to play it safe?
Yeah, it sounds like it is. You know, I mean, all reports after, you know, surgery in June was that he'd be back by March for the playoffs. But, you know, by then, Santiago, if they don't turn things around, they won't be in the playoff hunt. But, you know, when you got Steph Curry, you know, one of the greatest scorers in the NBA, you know, and D'Angelo Russell, they just got to learn to play together. They lack a lot of, you know, depth talent, you know, losing Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. Those are big pieces, Santiago, you know.
It is big pieces, and they're definitely, you know, you're definitely seeing it right now. But we'll see how things kind of pan out. And I'm sure Steph Curry will be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, you know, he's going to, you know, he'll probably put in every type season, and I think he's going to have to keep this team in playoff form. But I would see, would not be surprised, you know, if injuries will pile up here soon. You know, you're going to look to see some. One move I would, you know, a team that's probably not going to go anywhere this year, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look for them to probably deal Kevin Love sometime in the next couple of weeks, definitely before the February trade deadline.
Kevin Love will be a big asset. Hopefully Miami, because I know we need someone else. I know Chris Paul is rumored, but those rumors kind of
faded out. That's another name that will probably be moved as well. You know, and so I think the Thunder holding out to see if they can put together a team this year. But yeah, because once you trade Chris Paul, you're not going to get anything in return for him just because his contract is so big. So you're seeing what you can do with him because you've got. You know, or they're gonna have to pay his salary somewhere else. So you know why? You know why don't you just try to see if you can make a season out of it? And that's what the Thunder is doing.
And there you have it. Let's head into game predictions. Are you ready?
Let's go.
TCU at Oklahoma State.
Oh, two teams that got you know some big wins last week. TCU with a big win over Texas, and Oklahoma State being Iowa State. I'm going to go with Mike Gundy and the Cowboys in this game for Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Ole Miss at Auburn.
Here's another, you know, something we haven't talked about, you know, just came out today is that Auburn backup quarterback Joey Gatewood is transferring out of the program.
Correct, backup.
So, you know,
Bo Nix.
That's a team chemistry issue. I don't think it's going to involve this game because I think they're – a lot better than Ole Miss. A team I thought, you know, could, you know, ruffle a little feathers this year, but it really hasn't happened. So, you know, I think Auburn wins quite handily in this team.
Auburn wins. UVA at UNC.
You know, UNC just came off a big late victory over Duke, and UVA with a kind of a ho-hum loss against Louisville last week, so I expect Bronco Mendenhall and the Cavaliers to get back on track this week against Mac Brown and Atari Hill. So I'll go UVA.
UVA. Virginia Tech at Notre Dame.
You know, Virginia Tech's been playing well since they got, you know, beat down pretty badly by Duke about a month ago. Notre Dame just coming off a loss to Michigan. Probably just trying to get, you know, get back in that winning feeling there. I think the Fighting Irish will get the victory.
Notre Dame wins. Nebraska at Purdue.
Oh, boy. Two teams going in the wrong direction. You know, both teams probably need this game to get the bowl eligibility. I think Nebraska finds a way to win this game.
West Virginia at Baylor.
The only undefeated team in the Big 12, the Baylor Bears, stay undefeated with a victory over the Mountaineers.
Rank number 12, Baylor. Michigan at Maryland.
Michigan feeling very good about themselves against a team that's going desperately in the wrong direction, trying to find their way. And I think the Wolverines keep the momentum going and beat the Terrapins.
Kansas State versus Kansas. Kansas State, which is coming out of a win against Oklahoma.
And Kansas coming off a big victory over Texas Tech, you know. the Sunflower Showdown. I think it's going to come down to the wire, but I think the Wildcats and Kansas State continue to feed off their big victory over Oklahoma.
A number 7 Oregon against a very talented USC.
This game, you know, this is, you know, USC still got all to play for because they still hold the tiebreaker over Utah. So this game is very important, and we know Oregon is trying to, you know, stay in the playoff hunt in the Pac-12 North race. I'm going to go with the Ducks to win this game. I think they'll win by at least a touchdown.
Oregon beats the Trojans. Miami at FSU, in-state rival.
Two teams with the, you know, actually, both teams got victories last week, you know, to make this game 4-4 teams. Doesn't got the same luster as it once did, so, but, you know, it's a rivalry. And I think the Hurricanes will come out. They played very well defensively last week at Pittsburgh, you know, showed a lot of grit to get that victory.
Utah at Washington.
Utah, like we said, you know, they need this game. You know, they're still on a playoff hunt. against a Washington team that has extremely underwhelmed performed this year. You know, already two home losses. And I think it'll be three home losses after the Utes beat them.
Yeah, and Utah lost against USC, so it's going to be an interesting matchup there. SMU at Memphis.
We're the ESPN game day heading to Memphis this week, and this will be a primetime game on ABC featuring the best group of five game of the week. So you got undefeated SMU, you know, we're 7-1 Memphis, or 6-1 Memphis. This I think that they'll put on a show. Two teams that can score the ball, but I think the SMU Mustangs, led by Shane Purcell, will get the victory.
And finally, the game of the weekend, SEC Showdown, the cocktail party, Florida at Georgia. Florida versus Georgia in Jacksonville, neutral ground, neutral site.
Yeah. I will go with my Florida Gators to win this game. I'm glad you're feeling very confident. I don't think we're going to blow them out. I think this will be a game probably coming down to the last quarter. All the marbles are in this game, you know, and a game where Florida lost by double digits last year, even though I think it was a game much closer and, other than back quarterback play would have been a lot closer. So I think Kyle Trask showed against LSU even in a loss that he's not scared by big environments. I think they'll get the victory.
Florida, and what's the score for that?
I'm going to say 27-23.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. I was going to hit towards the 30s, but I think that'd be too much on a sunny day in Jacksonville. Wow. NFL, Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos.
I don't think I've ever picked against the Broncos. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns.
It's interesting because when you play in Denver, that's not a. I mean, that's one of the hardest places to play at. I mean, the altitude, the sound, the acoustics at Mile High. But we'll see. And Thursday Night Football, 49ers at Arizona.
No trick-or-treating this game for the Cardinals. I think the 49ers stay undefeated.
And who takes Game 7 in the World Series? The Washington Nationals at the Houston Astros.
I'm going to say Max Scherzer guts it out and gets the victory for the Nationals. They get a clutch in. I think they win 2-1.
2-1. That's a low-scoring game. You know that there hasn't never been, only like once or twice, had a World Series game in November.
Yeah, it's only happened a couple of times. Luckily this year we keep baseball in October the way it should be.
Yeah, the very last time was in September 11th. It was actually in 2001, where things got pushed back a little bit, and there was a game played on November 2nd.
Yeah, baseball should be played in October, and you push it out too far. It's hard. I mean, we could talk about reasons on another podcast of why baseball is ratings in the playoffs fail, but they just have a hard time. Even if it's not during a football day, but people got football in their brains if it's not your baseball team.
Quite interesting. Ryan, what is the best way? What's the best way to reach you to talk to you about Brandon Allen?
The Mad Dog Report 18. Get up to date on all the Gators, the Liberty Flames. We got to get back on track with the game against UMass after we lost the Rutgers and the Denver Broncos.
There you have it. And, of course, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1 for the latest trends, latest news, and also latest about talent, what's going on in the college football realm, who's the best, who's ranked higher, why is Tua fifth place in the Heisman candidates. All these questions are at thesportscast.net. And, of course, you can follow us on live tweeting games throughout the weekend. This weekend we'll also have NFL Game Day where Kailu will live tweet what's going on in NFL game. They have a lot of exciting things. It's like Red Zone, but on Twitter, just on text. But anyways, always a pleasure. Ryan, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Sam Dad, and have a good day, everybody.
Go Gators.